welcome to International Report. Today, we're staying in India where the general elections are ongoing. The subcontinent's political parties display low intra-party democracy because policy decisions are routinely made by a small group of party elites. More importantly, party tickets are typically distributed or even sold by these elites in the absence of a functioning democratic process within the party. As a result, many candidates from the major political parties view contesting elections as an investment rather than a sunken cost. They also tend to bankroll the parties in the campaign period. In this last report from a two-part series on money power in India's elections, correspondent Murali Krishnan explains why a fundamental change in electoral laws is desperately needed.
In the coming weeks, before the counting of votes on May 23rd, the country's political parties and their rich candidates will have invested millions of rupees hoping to become good representatives of the people. But in reality, they are more likely to see the election as an economic investment in the future. One of the oddities of the Election Commission's rules is that while there are candidate limits on expenditure, political parties don't have any maximum limit. Bhaskar Rao, the chairman of the Center for Media Studies, has been a keen election observer and believes democracy is being auctioned.
This election, for example, is going to cost twice what it was in 2014. And now, in 5 years' time, cost of democracy in India is multiplying. At this rate, what kind of democracy you would end up is a million-dollar question.
Pollsters and analysts maintain that the government's recently launched electoral bonds allowed businesses and individuals to donate to parties without their identities being disclosed, a guaranteed route for legalizing money laundering. Under electoral bonds, neither the recipients nor donors' names are disclosed. The biggest problem many foresee is that the voting public will never know which individual, company or organization has funded which party and to what extent. Rao is critical of the scheme.
In fact, when the bonds were introduced in the parliament, it was in a roundabout way. It was a pre-planned thing. And now you come up and say that the contributing corporate, there is no limit. Secondly, you don't have to reveal it. Thirdly, only the government will know about it. The bonds is totally dubious.
Sahit pure Odisha ke 24 lakh garib parivaron ke ghar mein bijli ka muft connection diya jata hai.
Though the poll panel has suggested an expenditure limit on candidates, €91,000 for each parliamentary candidate, it is brazenly violated. Currently, there is no cap on the amount a political party can spend in an election or on a candidate. Amit Verma of the Association of Democratic Reforms believes reform is unlikely.
There is no political will to bring in any type of electoral reform in the political funding because this suits them. One of the suggestions is state funding or public funding. Those are things worth examining. At least there may be some check if we adopt that policy. There must be a cap on the political parties' donations.
Money is instrumental in other ways too. Last month, the ruling BJP bought no fewer than 10 full-page advertisements in national newspapers, highlighting their achievements. Then in February, a recording surfaced in the southern state of Karnataka, which purportedly caught a BJP leader talking about offering cash to members of the state assembly to switch parties. Few were surprised by the ploy, a time-tested one, which could have toppled the state government and put the BJP in charge. What raised eyebrows were the sums allegedly proffered. $3 million to flip a state legislator and $7 million to buy off the Speaker of the House. The best efforts of the Election Commission to curb money power in elections have not had its desired effect. S.Y. Qureshi is a former Chief Election Commissioner.
Law prescribes a ceiling and that ceiling should be honoured and accepted. We try to enforce that. Despite that, they come up with very ingenious ways to bribe the voters, so they spend money left, right and centre. So that's our constant problem.
Apart from splurging on their extravagant campaigning and inducing vulnerable voters with freebies, political parties are also spending extensively on social media platforms. Before the elections were announced, a total of more than 520,000 euros was spent on politics-related advertising. Around 70% of this advertising has come from the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party or BJP and its affiliated groups. According to social media analysts, in the coming weeks, parties, through their army of proxies, will continue to invest in various media platforms to increase their coverage. The BJP spokesperson, GVL Narasimha Rao, refused to entertain questions on whether his party was spending money on voters. But Rao emphasized that his party had invested in seasoned politicians.
Interestingly, unlike in the West, the Indian electorate does place a premium on age and experience. So being youthful is not necessarily a qualification for leadership position.
Amit Verma believes there has to be massive reform before India sees a clean election.
There are so many issues which need to be sorted out. Political funding is one of them. There has to be inner party democracy. There has to be transparency in their working. They have to come under the RTI because the national parties refuse to comply with the order of the Chief Information Commissioner. You can't have everything through legislation, and the judicial process takes years and years.
A steady rise in political competition and the number of candidates has sparked an arms race in campaign spending. More candidates automatically means more uncertain elections and hence costlier contests for candidates who are forced to match the expenses of their competitors. Costlier elections have resulted in lower levels of morality in the political class because of charges of bribe giving. Rising levels of political competition in the end may be doing more harm than good. Murali Krishnan, RFI, New Delhi.